Hi there, I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Podcast. I'm excited to share with you today's interview, but before I get started, I had a question from one of you that I wanted to answer. This is from Meredith. Meredith says that her teenage daughter has acne, and her question is, how do I know what is really causing my daughter's acne? Is it her diet or the skincare products she's using, or is it something else? Well, that's a great question, Meredith. Really, the answer is her acne is probably triggered by both her diet and her skincare, but that might not be the root cause. And that's the important thing is here. You want to find out what the root cause of her acne is, and you want to address that. My guest today is going to talk a lot about underlying causes, about these root causes of health concerns, and even shares her own story about having acne. So I think today's podcast will really help you. One of the biggest root causes for skin issues, including acne, lies within the digestive tract. So a lot of times we need to address those issues within the gut in order to have that clear, glowing skin that we want to have. So keep that in mind as you watch this interview today. My guest today is Dr. Carrie Drisga. Dr. Carrie is a chiropractor and naturopathic doctor, host of a popular podcast, The Functional Medicine Radio Show, and author of the book Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again, Fixing the Root Cause of Your Fatigue with Natural Treatments. Dr. Carrie is also creator of Entrepreneurial Fatigue, How to Fuel Your Brain and Body for Entrepreneurial Success. She has been in private practice since 1996 and is founder of Functional Medicine Ontario. In today's interview, we discussed the most important causes, most common causes and most important causes of fatigue. Really, what's interesting about this is that many of these root causes, many of these causes are similar or the same as common skin problems. So please enjoy this interview today. Dr. Carrie Drisga, it's great. So great to have you on my show today.
Hi, Dr. Trevor. It's so nice to be here. Finally, we're like switching the tables. You're interviewing me today because I interviewed you not that long ago.
Yeah, it's great. It's so fun to be able to do that, to be able to share each other's information with our audiences. And so I want you to start off with your story because I understand you have an interesting story. So let's start with that.
Okay, so I know a lot of your audience have, they have a great passion for skin health. And if we go back in time, I used to have really terrible acne, started at about 16 years old. And going into chiropractic school only made it that much worse. And then going into private practice, still it got that much worse. So I was, I'd say in my mid-20s when I finally decided like enough is enough. So I was treated as a typical acne patient would with topical antibiotics, topical retinoid creams, oral internal antibiotics. Of course, that stuff works, but it's really just a temporary fix. And then I, you know, really I had enough at one point and I said, this is enough. I'm going to try Accutane. And to be quite honest, the week I started Accutane, I developed psoriasis all over my body, my face, my neck, my hands. I felt like a freak going in to see my patients because I'm like, they can totally see it. And it wasn't until I saw a doctor here in Ottawa that practices functional medicine, that he was like, okay, let's get to the root cause of this. We found that I had parasites in my gut, like really bad gut imbalance. I had to do a lot of detox, of course. I had to change my diet completely. And as you know, diet is really your first medicine. It can be your poison or it can be your medicine. And so I did all these things and finally my skin completely cleared up. And actually, Trevor, when patients come in and I tell them this story, they look at me and they look kind of puzzled. They're like, my gosh, Dr. Carrie, you have such beautiful skin. And then I tell them like, it wasn't always that way. So patients who come in with skin issues, like I really feel for them because I know what that's like personally.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. I completely hear you. The same thing with me. I had a lot of skin issues when I was younger. It was more eczema and allergic kinds of issues with my skin. But I completely understand. People say to me, oh, well, what do you know about skin issues? You've got great skin. I'm like, well, I worked hard to get there. So yeah, I completely hear you. So a lot of what you're talking about is addressing the root cause of skin issues. And you do that with other things in your practice, because you've gone on to do a lot with functional medicine, and you have a book and another one coming out. So tell us what you're up to now.
So what I'm up to now, and thanks for asking. So my first book that came out is called Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again. And that was a kind of a personal, also a personal story, you know, there too. I was 15 years in a chiropractic practice and decided I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to go back to school, become a naturopathic doctor, so I can really practice functional medicine to the full scope and breadth that I, you know, want to. And I had such a busy schedule, Trevor. I was in class 30 hours a week, morning, afternoons, and evening classes, plus all the studying, exams, writing papers. And I was flying back and forth from Chicago to Canada to still see my patients in my private practice. It was an insane schedule. And I think back and I think, how did I even do it? You know, but, you know, sometimes, you know, you have a goal and you just have to go for it. And it was about 6 weeks. Not 6 weeks, it was about 6 months into that craziness that my energy started to tank. And I knew it was just stress, and it was a short-term, you know, two-year commitment to reach this goal of mine. And I just thought, okay, I just have to, like, suck it up, get through it. And I figured, well, once I graduate, pass my board exams, like, then I'll be able to kind of sit back, take some time, recharge my batteries, and everything will be back to normal. Except that actually didn't happen. So I was like getting 10 hours of sleep every night and taking a 2 hour nap every day. And I was still like really fatigued, and it kind of felt also like my brain never, I put a lot of stress and strain into my brain, and it never really quite recovered from that 2 years of stress either. So that's kind of, you know, I talk about that in my fatigue book, and I actually then, I broke the cardinal rule of being a doctor and a patient, that we doctors were not supposed to treat ourselves, you know, because we cannot be unbiased. But I broke that rule, and I decided to treat myself with functional medicine to get to the root cause of where my fatigue was coming from. And so that's kind of what I talk about in the book. And a lot of what I talk about in the book actually does kind of correlate with a lot of skin problems as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's talk about some of the things. I know in your book, you talk about some of the underlying causes of fatigue being things like anemia, thyroid problems, cortisol imbalance, blood sugar imbalance, nutrient deficiencies, chronic infections, hidden food allergies and insensitivities. And so I talk about a lot about those with skin issues too, because if you have those things, it can show up as skin problems too. So do you want to talk about a few of these and how they contribute to fatigue and how they also might show up on your skin? We can talk about that too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say that of that list, the two that are at the top of the list that I think anybody that has low energy or fatigue, the two basic things that you have to have evaluated first are to be checked for anemia and to be checked for a thyroid problem. And if you haven't had those two things done yet and you have fatigue or low energy, like, that has to be done either by your naturopathic doctor or see your medical doctor, and have some basic blood work done. So talking about anemia, we'll start there. Obviously, if you don't have enough blood in your body and enough oxygen flowing through, you're going to feel tired. But how that can relate to the skin is just pale skin, frankly. I actually had a new patient in here just last week, my third new patient of the day, and I was looking at her, and I could tell, like, she was just so pale. And she said, yeah, I've had chronic low iron. Has anybody really investigated that? No. Well, you know, if you do have low iron or low B12 or anemia, that should really be investigated to see, like, what is causing that. And I find a lot of traditional doctors will just supplement with the iron without really digging deeper to find out, like, where's that really coming from?
Right. Because if someone's low in iron, which is one of the causes of anemia, then why are they deficient in iron? Is it because they have excess blood loss, or is it because they have difficulty with digestion, so they're not absorbing the iron from the foods that they're eating? So is that kind of the kinds of things that you would then look for with anemia?
And like you said, are they not digesting it and absorbing it well? So then I kind of think about, is the stomach acid low? Do they have an H. pylori infection, which is a bacteria that can live in the stomach? Sometimes people are doing all the right things, but they can have hidden infections in the gut, particularly SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, that a lot of infections will just feed on iron and they'll steal it from you. And then, as you were saying, poor absorption, like classically, the condition celiac disease, which you know is an autoimmune condition of the gut, the first indication of celiac disease on a lab test is usually low iron. So whenever I see a patient with low iron, like that first thing, one of those things that pops into my head is, gee, I wonder if this patient has celiac and they've actually never been diagnosed properly.
And so why celiac? Explain why celiac is something that you think of.
Oh, okay, sure. So celiac is an autoimmune condition. So that means your own immune system is attacking your body. And specifically with celiac, it's attacking the lining of the small intestine. And our small intestine, if we look at that under the microscope, it has these long fibers in the small intestine. It kind of looks like shag carpet. And these are the villi. And at the tip of each of these carpet fibers, as we are using in our analogy, like that's where you absorb your broccoli, that's where you absorb your iron, that's where you absorb your cheese or whatever. And so what happens in celiac is those fibers are blunted, and instead of having shag carpet, it looks like Berber carpet. And so your ability to absorb the nutrients in the foods that you eat, the nutrients in the supplements that you take, your ability to absorb is dramatically reduced. And so that's where we start seeing on blood work these different signs of potential celiac disease, the first one being low iron, because it's just not getting through, because that part of the body is damaged.
Okay. And so what, if we're looking at anemia, if someone has pale skin and they're wondering, okay, what do I ask my doctor for? What lab tests do you recommend people ask for, or what do you suggest that doctors order?
So, if a patient is diagnosed with anemia, I think they should take that next step and just ask, why? Why do you think I have anemia? Not just, have them take iron, but ask why. So, again, so going over those basic things, are you getting enough in your diet? So, you can easily do internet searches for how much iron is in, a chicken breast about the size of your palm, and how much iron is in a cup of spinach, and kind of, go through your day and estimate how much iron you're getting in your diet, if you're eating enough or not. And then testing for H. pylori, that can be a blood test, which is not the greatest way to test for H. pylori. There's a breath test, and there's a stool antigen test also for H. pylori, and the stool antigen test is actually the most accurate. Screening for celiac disease. The best lab to screen for celiac disease, frankly, is Cyrex Labs. They're array number 3. So if your doctor has the ability to run tests through that lab, that would really be your best bet. And then looking for other hidden underlying infections. So we talk about SIBO, that's a breath test, either a lactulose breath test or a glucose breath test. And then also things like yeast overgrowth can create iron deficiencies. Sometimes we can see that on a stool test. Sometimes we can see that on an organic acids test. The difficulty is there's not just one test to screen for all of these things.
Yeah. So, in addition to getting ferritin levels tested or having a complete blood count, which is also called a CBC, and also an iron count, you suggest these specialty labs in addition to that if people's levels are if they have low iron.
Yeah, so these are the things that kind of go through my head, and it really depends on the patient in front of me if I think we need to go down this lane or this lane or this lane. So, but these are all the possibilities. So for the viewers out there and for the listeners to kind of think about how, if they have fatigue, if they have low iron or a history of anemia, figure out why.
Right. Okay, good. And you mentioned Cyrex Labs. I like Cyrex Labs, and it's spelled Cyrex, in case people want to check their website out or learn more about them. We have no, at least I don't have any affiliation with them, so I don't think that's an issue. But so you mentioned that anemia and thyroid problems are the two things that people want to check out first if they have fatigue. Why is that?
So those are very common causes of fatigue, and they're very treatable, to be quite honest. So the difficulty I find within my private practice is usually patients come in and they've already had those tests done, and their doctor said, well, everything's normal, so maybe you just need a vacation, or maybe you're stressed, you're starting a burnout, maybe you need to take 3 months off of work, or maybe we should start you on antidepressants. Kind of like it's all in your head, right? So usually when patients come to see me in my private practice at Functional Medicine Ontario, they've already taken that step and they're like, okay, my doctor says everything is normal, but yet I have all of these different symptoms. What is going on? Like, they know there is something wrong inside and they really want to get to the root cause of it.
Okay, so let's talk about thyroid problems a little bit, because what you're saying is, and I see this a lot in my practice too, is doctors will run a TSH on blood work, a thyroid stimulating hormone, to look for, to screen out or to rule out thyroid problems. And if it's within the normal range, they'll say you don't have a thyroid problem. But you and I know it's a little bit different when people come see us. So let's, will you explain what you would look at differently?
So, first to start with, a screening test is just that. It kind of just screens for gross, big changes. So just like you have a window screen on your window, it keeps out the big bugs, but the small bugs can still get through. So, a screening test usually is the first and only place that doctors test for a thyroid problem. And you said it, that's the TSH test. So one of the other issues with the TSH test is the range of normal is pretty wide. And in functional medicine, we've tightened up that range to say, like, okay, here's quote normal, but really here is ideal. And a lot of functional medicine doctors have seen in their own patients that their own patients feel best when their TSH usually is pretty low. There's a couple of problems there with the TSH test. That a lot of times, if your numbers are in the normal range, you're just told like it's normal. And so the other thing is, we talked about just like a window screen, it keeps the big bugs out, but we can still see the small bugs coming through. The TSH only tells us one part of the whole cascade of thyroid hormone function in the body, and actually, it's telling us how your pituitary is talking to your thyroid. So your pituitary in your brain, it uses the hormone TSH to talk to your thyroid. And then your thyroid from there makes T4. And then in your body, T4 gets made into T3. And T3 is actually the most active of all the thyroid hormones. So we want to look at that whole cascade of how is everybody talking to each other. We want to test at least those three things, TSH, free T4, free T3. We can take it a bit further and test a reverse T3. Reverse T3 tells us about inactive thyroid hormones, and that usually when those levels are high, that usually signals a gut, something is going wrong deeper in the gut as really the cause. And then if we want to take it one step further too, to screen for Hashimoto's, they're at the earliest stages of Hashimoto's, that would be a TPO antibody test. But yeah, as a basic screening, we want to do at least those three. The pituitary talking to the thyroid, that's TSH, and then in the body, T4 gets made into T3, which is a free T3 test. I use this analogy with patients. Okay, you work in a corporate position. Is the boss talking to the manager, and then the manager is talking to the employees? How is that chain of communication really working? Is somebody sleeping on the job? So if we look at that whole cascade of how the thyroid actually works in the body, we can have a better idea of, is there really a thyroid problem there? that is developing but is not manifested as, you know, full-blown hypothyroidism yet.
And I think that's so important because catching thyroid problems early is so much easier to treat than waiting until the TSH is way off. And so I think it's great that you do that, as well as looking at the free T3, free T4, looking at those early signs and looking at TSH in that more optimal range, I think is so important. And, you know, just to go back to skin, with thyroid problems, one of the first time things that people notice when they have low thyroid function is dry skin, right? And so, or if they have high thyroid function, they might get kind of sweaty and their skin is really oily. They might even have more acne. So these can be signs of the thyroid imbalance. And then with fatigue, you tend to have low thyroid function, right?
Right, right. And then the other thing that I want to kind of bring up in relation, you know, it's in relation with the skin, is that a lot of patients who have a thyroid that's getting weaker, they'll start losing the outer third of their eyebrows. Women will notice this more than men, because we're like really into eyebrows here. But yeah, you'll start losing the outer third of your eyebrows. They'll just like start to vanish. And then the other thing is, you know, a lot of women come in and they're just, their hair is just getting thinner and thinner, and they can start seeing their scalp more. That could be thyroid. That could be also anemia related. Not enough iron in the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and let's talk about nutrient deficiencies and fatigue. What are some of the big ones that you see? I mean, you mentioned, we talked about iron, and people that are low in that will have anemia. So that's a nutritional deficiency. But what about other nutrients?
Mm-hmm. So before I jump into that, I just want to caution your viewers and your listeners that just because you have fatigue doesn't automatically mean that you need iron, because not everybody actually needs iron. And there's many different vitamins and nutrients out there that are totally safe to take, but iron is not necessarily one of those. So if you don't actually need iron, you should not be taking extra iron, because it can build up in the body. I've actually seen that with patients that are like, yeah, I've been tired, so I've been taking iron and I don't feel any different. And I'm like, you need to stop taking iron. You don't need any more iron. Oh, okay, so one of the most common deficiencies I see is vitamin D. Now, I'm here in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and we have not much sun during the year. Like July and August are our best months to really get vitamin D from the sun, from having good skin exposure to the sun. And the other thing that I see here in Ontario is not a lot of doctors actually test for vitamin D, because it's not covered under the government, you know, socialized medicine plan. You know, I'll look over their blood work and I'll see, okay, what has been tested? What do the numbers look like? Are they just kind of like okay? Are they ideal? And then what is missing? And usually a vitamin D test is missing. So vitamin D is the sunshine vitamin, and I like to explain to patients that if your vitamin D levels are low, your body is kind of tricked into thinking you're in hibernation mode. So you know how you feel typically during the winter, like you're more slow, you're more sluggish, you kind of just want to cuddle up on the couch and hibernate. And you also kind of tend to gain about 5 pounds. It just kind of comes on and you're like, where did that come from? And then during the summer, like the opposite happens. You have the sun and you just naturally feel like more alive, more energy. And I think a lot of that really has to do with the changes in vitamin D. So that's one that across the board I'll look for, is vitamin D deficiency.
Great. And of course, vitamin D is so important for the skin as well. Really important. And I think it's really interesting that when you address these issues, like anemia or thyroid problems or nutritional deficiencies, it's going to help you in so many ways, right? It's going to help you feel more energetic. You're going to feel better overall. Your skin will look cleaner, clearer, glowing. And so the body is connected. It's not just looking at one organ or one symptom. It's when you address these things, it really impacts the body in so many different ways. So I'm glad we're talking about this. With nutritional deficiencies, the two that you mentioned, iron and vitamin D, you can pretty much tests on blood work, right, for those. But what about other nutritional deficiencies? Which other ones do you test in blood work, and if you can't test them in blood work, how do you determine what those other nutritional deficiencies might be?
Oh, that's a pretty big question there. It's complicated. So the other nutrients that I look for, like in just basic blood work, I'll look for B12, and that's just a B12 blood test. I'll look for signs of a B6 deficiency, and another one I'll look for it on just basic blood work, another liver enzyme called ALT, and ALP, and alkaline phosphatase. And if that is also on the low end of normal, that leads me to think that there's probably a zinc deficiency going on because it takes zinc in order to make that enzyme alkaline phosphatase. Other than that, there's not many others that we can really test very easily without getting into more advanced testing. So there are other types of blood tests out there by specialty labs where they will do intracellular tests, so they'll look inside of the red blood cells or the white blood cells. It's like I say, like it's an egg, and they crack them open and they see how much of the nutrients are actually inside of the cells, because that's really where all of the work gets done. So there's different specialty labs that will do tests like that. Of course, vitamin D, that is tested in the blood very easily. And then sometimes there's a test called an organic acids test, which is a simple, actually very simple urine test, and we can see different metabolites in the urine, and that can point us in the direction of this person probably needs more B2 or B6, or we don't see very much vitamin C in the urine, so that means they're probably deficient in the blood. So again, it would be great if there was just like one test that will test for everything, but there's usually, it's not that easy in the real world.
Right, I know, and I have so many patients that say, "Well, can't we just when you're ordering all my blood work, can't you just throw in all the nutrients and tell me what my magnesium and my zinc and my this or that? Can't you just run those?" And I have to explain to them that it's not that easy with a lot of the nutrients. It's not that easy to test for those. But the specialty labs, as far as the specialty labs, are there ones that you particularly like to use?
Yeah, there are. So in for the organic acids test, I'd like to use the one by Great Plains Lab. And then Doctors Data also has some different tests available to test intracellular red blood cell levels for fatty acids and different minerals and whatnot. A great test that really tells us a lot is the one by SpectraCell, which is a blood test, tells us what's inside the cells, tests lots of different minerals, vitamins, amino acids. It's excellent. Except, as a naturopathic doctor in Ontario, I'm not allowed to run that test. It's like, blah. So,
Okay. Well,
but
and
at least
I
it's
don't,
available out there.
yeah, and I don't want people listening, watching to get overwhelmed by having to order all these different tests. If you're working with a naturopathic physician or functional medicine doctor that's well trained, they should be able to help guide you into figuring out, pinpointing what is your most likely to be your underlying cause, or kind of narrow it down to two or three and then start with those tests to figure that out. So you don't have to do all of these, right? You can just start with one or two, hopefully.
Yeah, you bring up a really great point. Usually with my patient, I have a conversation as to, okay, here's what I think is going on. I'm pretty confident this is what's going on. Now, we can run this test to verify that, or we can start treatment and see how you respond to treatment. And if you respond good to treatment, well, that pretty much like verifies that my thought was right. So even something simple like a B6 deficiency. If I see certain symptoms going on, I'll say, you know what? I think there's a B6 deficiency going on. Let's try a bottle of B6 for 30 days and see how you do. And some patients would, a lot of patients would just be like, great, I like that idea. Now, some patients will say, I want to see it on a blood test. And I'll say, okay, well, here are our options. So there's always that, trying to figure out between you and the patient, working as a team to figure out the best strategy.
Okay. All right. So in your book, you talk about vitamin R. So what is that?
So vitamin R is a fun vitamin that I like to talk about. So vitamin R stands for rest, relaxation, and recreation. And I would say, as a deficiency, pretty much all of us are deficient in vitamin R. So I like to tell people that it's okay to have some fun in your life, to schedule downtime for yourself. You know, so many people, they're so scheduled with their work, their family, the kids, and they forget to schedule time for themselves. To say, like, it's okay to take a vacation. It's okay to take one day off and just shut off all your electronics and just have some peace and quiet for yourself. It's okay to go back to those hobbies that you, quote, don't have time for. Go back to them. You know, put yourself in a different mindset to go and have some fun.
Yeah, and why is that so important? If people don't get that vitamin R, that rest and relaxation, what happens? How does that lead to fatigue?
So, in a very like basic sense, the more and more stress that we have, and the more and more stress we're exposed to, like we there has to be an outlet for that stress. And there's so much research, as you know, Trevor, so much research on the negative effects of stress. And I mean, these are easy things that can be done at home without, you know, consulting with a professional. You know, just go for a walk. Enjoy your time outside. Engage all of your senses. Be present. You know, think about, okay, what smells do I smell? Do I smell the grass? Do I smell different flowers? Feel the breeze hitting your cheek. Feel the sun, the warmth of the sun on your skin. You know, just be present. Even if it's just 5 minutes a day to take to just be present, and even, you know, to take a few minutes and practice some gratitude also. I talk about that in the book. You know, take a moment and list three things that you're grateful for in that moment or for that day. So these little things can really start adding up in profound ways. So I think just, you know, on a basic level, there has to be an outlet for stress so that we can start, you know, reversing those negative effects. And that's where vitamin R comes in.
Right. And so do you think that thinking back, looking back at your life, do you think if you'd scheduled a little bit more of that time when you went back to school and you were really stressed and overscheduled, do you think that that would have helped prevent you from having the issues with fatigue that you experienced?
To be quite honest, no. I don't, you know, there will be things that come into our lives that are so overwhelming that we just have to, like, your body almost goes into survival mode. Like the big things, going through separation and divorce, the illness or death of a loved one, me going back to school, it was so stressful. And not to say that that in any sense, yeah, it relates to the other two, as far as death of, or illness of a loved one or going through separation and divorce. But there will be times where you're just purely in survival mode, and you just have to you get through it. But after that, practicing that vitamin R, getting more rest, relaxation, and recreation to help get you back in balance, I think that's key.
Okay, so you think that really helping restore balance, once somebody is there, it's important to help someone recover and also to help people, probably to help prevent it to a certain extent, but it's not the only thing that's going to help keep people from getting burned out and getting tired.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, that's just one thing of many that I talk about in the book. Yeah, you're right.
Excellent. Okay, great. And so tell us some more about how people can learn more about you, about your upcoming book, about you have a your show. Tell people about those things.
Oh, thank you. So I guess the best way for people to reach out to me would be through my website at drcarrie.com, and that's spelled DrCarrie.com. And it's kind of my home base, so that's where your viewers and listeners can see me interviewing you on my podcast called the Functional Medicine Radio Show. And of course, that's where I have my blog, all my past interviews, and that's where you can get a copy of my book, Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again. And you mentioned my upcoming book. My upcoming book is going to be all about digestive health. So, yeah, go ahead and visit drcarrie.com.
Great. And we'll have those links up on my website as well. So people that are driving or busy right now can just go visit my website to find all that information. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Carey, for all your information today. It's really been valuable, really pulling in together the connection between fatigue and the skin and these root causes that can lead to both skin and energy issues along with other health problems. And so if we address the root causes with, like, for some of the things that we talked about today, really can have a more vibrant, healthy life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Carey. To learn more about Dr. Carey, you can visit my website, thespadoctor.com. Go to the podcast page with her interview, and you'll find all the information and links there. Also, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community on my website or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. If you haven't done so already, I highly recommend you get your own customized skin profile at theskinquiz.com. It's free based upon the answers, just a few questions. You get great tips for glowing skin and vibrant health. Just go to theskinquiz.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll have your own customized skin report. Also, don't miss out on the latest tips for getting glowing skin from the inside and out. Be sure to follow me on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, and Instagram, and join the conversation. Thank you, and I'll see you next time.